Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Forking Around Town. This is your host, Tracy. And today I have a very special guest who is a fellow food blogger and friend of mine in Tampa, Marsha Strickhauser, who is otherwise known as Plate Girl. I met Marsha a couple years ago, I think, to be exact, maybe 2 or 3 years ago in the blogging world. And she is awesome. You can follow her on Instagram at Plate Girl. And I always go to her site when I want to look at beautiful tableware. Marsha, welcome. Thank you for coming and joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And tell me a little bit about how you got started and how you came up with the name Plate Girl.
So in college, I was working at Burdine's, which is now Macy's. But for some reason, they put me in the China department with brides and wedding registries and things like that. And that's what I did, was sold China. And I just got addicted to it. I just loved it. And my mom was an antiques dealer later in life after she was a teacher. And my grandmother was a food editor. And so for some reason, all those things kind of mashed up. And I just started loving plates. I just, like, my joke was that I would read Southern Living. You know, you read it for the recipes. And I'm sure you use the recipes and normal people do. I just look at the plates, you know. I only look at the plates. It's like Playboy for men. I'm just looking at the plates. I'm not here for the recipes.
You're so funny. That's kind of how, for me and Forks, I've always loved eating. Everyone knows that about me. And when I came up with the concept for Forking Around Town, it took me maybe half an hour to come up with a name. I sat down. I started writing things down. What do I want to say? What do I want to really attract people with? And for some reason, fork just came to mind. It's also a play on words.
Very cute.
As
yes.
We know.
Yes, we do.
And it's funny because I remember as a young girl, I used to have a lot of different pieces of fork jewelry, bracelets, earrings. So it's just kind of funny how 30 years later it came back into my life.
I know. That's the same as it is for me, because I had a lot of little dishes and things like that. When my parents and I traveled to Europe when I was 12, and I collected napkins all throughout Europe, like of all things to collect throughout Europe. There were a lot of paper napkins at the time, and like in Switzerland, they had little flowers all over them. And I came back and made a scrapbook of the napkins, and now today I have tons and tons, dozens of runners and tablecloths and napkins. So it's like one of those things that you love since childhood.
Right. Yeah, napkins. There's actually some really cool cocktail napkin designs out there.
Yes,
there
are.
I get stuck at like Marshall's on Tuesday morning. I just want
to
take them all. And I need to have a really big party because I must have 2,000 of them.
I know. And as far as the name, I love your name, first of all. But my name first was Plate Fetish because I love plates so much. But I kind of looked into that before. I'm glad I looked into it before I would name my blog that, because you don't want to Google that. It is not a good thing to Google.
Oh, I'm going to Google it now.
No, do not. And especially not on your work email, your work account.
I can do it on
like
my cell phone.
It is not a nice thing. So that's how it came up with Plate Girl instead of Plate Woman. So Plate Girl, and there's someone already
out
there.
Sounds like a superhero to me.
Plate Girl.
I can see you with
me.
A cape on. Right?
I know. I come into restaurants and I inspect their dishes, definitely.
That would actually, you should do that.
I'm going to,
yeah. You could do like one of those videos where you go in, kind of like a bar rescue.
Yes.
Plate Girl to the rescue.
I know. I love when I find nice dishes at restaurants. Like you said, like a little different shaped or just really pretty, like.
When I go out to eat, that is one thing I always look at, is I look at the glassware and the plates. And
me too.
I hate when they put out plates that have scratches on them or just look like they've seen better days.
Oh, I can't stand that.
Chipped glassware, any of that kind of stuff. Speaking of which, Tampa Bay, as we know, has so many great restaurants. What do you think, I don't know, what places would you say have some pretty cool plateware?
I was just thinking Elevage at Epicurean Hotel.
Oh,
I really like them. Armani's, I was really impressed with all the different things, not only the shapes, but they have like slate plates and things like that they serve some of their famous antipastos on. And
I have to say Armani's has the best forks in town.
Oh, that's good, because I really don't like chintzy, you know,
forks.
Don't like that.
They're good.
And then also I was at Rumfish recently over out by Tradewinds, and they had these beautiful blue tumblers, you know, for the glassware. And, you know, they have that huge aquarium there with all the fish. fish and they're right on the water. So the fact that you walk into the restaurant and you see fish on the wall, but you also see these beautiful blue glasses, and it makes such an impact. Another one is Rue. They have red glasses.
Red, that's right. I was just there last week.
Yeah, I really love that. And the first time I had gone there was for Christmas time. And I thought they just did it for Christmas, but
they
I think they're all year. Yeah.
They are.
So to me, it's those little things that are really impressive. And they get me excited. So what can I say? Plate girl loves those things.
You get excited about plates.
I do.
You get excited about forks.
I do get excited about food as well. But if the food is on nice serveware, I like it even more.
Makes all the difference.
It does.
So how many plates do you think you might have? Because you just saw my office and I have a ton of forks, which is something I've been collecting for about a year.
Okay. Well, I do have an addiction. It is probably a mental disorder. I'm not sure. I might have 1,000 plates or something like that. I started early, and then my mom and I used to go to antique shows and things like that in Coconut Grove. I was born and raised in Miami. And we would make fun of each other and say, like, you know, you don't need those dishes. And we'd say, who has more sets of china? And a lot of times people say, oh, I have 4 sets of china. I'm like, honey, you have no idea.
Where do you keep them? All. You must have big
I don't
cabinets.
Even know. I have like 4 china cabinets, and it's kind of like a hoarder situation. But I have a lot of Spode and Lennox and some beautiful things that I love, and some vintage, and then Fiesta, which is something that came out during the Depression. You know, it's that bright, mm-hmm. colorful. Right. And a lot of them I get it from – I've gotten from antique shops, but also thrift shops and OfferUp. So, like, after Christmas, I found a lot of great Spode Christmas things and Royal Albert and Lennox and things like that. A lot of people, you know, unfortunately, they really don't love china that much anymore. I think a lot of millennials are just like to keep it simple, and they don't want to have all those things. So I'm still a little bit, you know, definitely, I'd say old school. I know there are a lot of people like me, though, also, that do like those fancy things, the fun china that you can set the table with. And so I know it's not some people's cup of tea, but there are a lot of plate pals out there that I have that, you know, enjoy setting a nice table and just entertaining. And I kind of, I don't think of myself as Martha Stewart, but she was always my idol, you know, since I was first married in my 20s and things like that. I'm kind of like Martha Stewart without cooking. So, like, she's always collecting and sharing and entertaining, and her books are just beautifully filled with gorgeous photos of table settings and things like that. So that kind of propelled me.
I don't think you would want to look in my cabinets. Everything I have is mismatched.
Oh,
makes
my
no
gosh.
Sense whatsoever.
I would gift you china, because I can't tell you how many friends, especially younger friends that I've worked with, who are, you know, just starting. They're in their 20s and 30s, and they're like, well, I'm using paper plates for the holidays. And I say, girl, you cannot do that if you are having a real holiday and cooking with your fabulous food. And so I've let them borrow my china, or I've given them my china. So I've given away a lot of china, and I call people up. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just found this beautiful blue Danube set. You know, I know you love blue. Do you need it? Do you want it? And they say, Marcia, leave me alone. Stop stalking me.
I don't even know who half these names are. Isn't that terrible?
A blue Danube? No.
I know nothing. If I see a plate that I like, as long as pizza's going to fit right on it, that's all that matters
to
me. Mm-hmm. I definitely need to work on that.
Well, a lot of times I set the table, and that's what we're having for dinner, pizza. So I don't say that I'm a wonderful cook or anything like that. I do make a mean lasagna and grouper oregano, but other than that, I'm not really the best. But as my mom used to say, because she was a lovely lady, she would say, well, we did have fun antique shopping and stuff, but she'd say, you're a lousy cook, but it tastes a lot better when you put it on nice dishes. So I really do go by that. And actually, there's a study from Cornell University. They have a school of hospitality, and they have a study. I'm not sure what year it was done, but they have a study that says just that people who tasted the food off nice plates versus just regular plates, they found that the food on the nice china and crystal tasted better. And I really do believe that.
That, you know, there is something to that. I once worked with a chef who told me that food tastes better if you eat it while listening to Frank Sinatra.
Ah, yes.
And I started doing that when I was young.
I would suggest Fly Me to the Moon. That's my favorite, Frank
That's
Sinatra.
A good one. Now, I know we talked about, obviously, plateware in China, but there are a lot of really cool places in Tampa Bay that use disposable plateware that I like. Have you ever noticed any, like, different cups and containers that they use?
No, I'm not into the disposables. I'm, you know, plus you're not supposed to use disposables
well, if
that
paper.
Much anymore. Well, I do, you know, I have seen a lot of things like where it's composed of, you know, something edible that you can actually eat the plate afterwards. I mean, now this isn't mainstream, you know, but where they're made of different things, maybe it's bamboo and they're biodegradable or they are edible, which is a fantastic idea. So I do love those things. You know, I don't have them myself. I do not eat my plates. So, but I do like the fact that I'm, you know, I'm getting them through thrift stores and things like that. It, to me, it's recycling, you know, it's not using, you know, and also I feel like I'm not using paper plates, so it's not hurting the environment. I'm just using those old plates from someone's grandma, you know, over and over. And I like the thought that they have a history and that it's recycling.
Right. That's nice. That's a really good point. My kids hate washing dishes, so they always want to reach for paper plates. So I'm trying to get them in the habit of not doing so. And in fact, I stopped buying them a while ago. I had a collection of paper plates. A lot of them came from Tuesday Morning.
Oh, yeah.
In Tampa at Britain Plaza. They've got some really cool designs.
I know. I just posted on my Facebook that I found some Spode plates, and it was in their blue Italian pattern. It's a really popular one. And I said, I don't normally use paper plates, but when I do, they're, you know, Spode, and Tuesday Morning has a lot of them.
They have great ones. Even and Target, too. I was amazed. I was there
really
the other
cute.
Day, and I couldn't believe how many designs
I hate to
they
say,
had.
I bought some at Dollar Store the other day. I think it was Dollar Store with the little Day of the Dead logo on it, you know, the little skull.
The Katrinas.
And it was black and orange and purple, and really, my daughter loves those. She's 24. So she likes plates too now. So she's like, well, can I have those plates? And she got her first apartment last year, and the first thing I did was bring like her Christmas set, her everyday set, and her good set. And she actually liked them. So
if I want to just start over, because like I said, if you were to look into my cabinet, every plate is different. I might have four that match, but over the years I've collected
different ones. Oh, I am coming to your house with plates, girl.
How should I start though if I just want a basic, nice, entertaining dinner table set? What should I do?
Well, you know, there's lots of great things at Macy's. They have a sale, you know, they have sales all the time for a set of four or eight for like $50. So it's really not that, you know, not that expensive. You don't have to go through the whole bridal thing and get the china for $100 a place setting like, you know, new brides do, things like that. But another thing I would recommend is just going to a thrift store. There's a couple good, Goodwills are really good, Salvation Army, other ones, you know. But one of my favorites near me is Goodwill, and you can find, you know, all kinds of things. Now, I wouldn't go for like something like Gibson, which they sell at Target, because you could probably get it the same place, same price, brand new at Target. But they have a lot of things like either Pfalzgraf or Mikasa or Noritake, a whole set for $60 or sometimes $30. And, you know, buy the whole, sometimes you can get them separately. So if you only need the dinner plates and the salad bowls, you don't need the teacups and the fruit bowls and things like that.
I wouldn't know what to do with a teacup.
I know. Well, right now I've been feeding my kittens out of the teacups. So they do, you know, you can use them for other things. And I use the fruit bowls for the cats and the dogs because currently we have a lot at my house. But, you know, but I really love thrift stores to go, and they don't always have it. Sometimes you have to go a couple times. Or you can call me and I'll shop for you.
So you all know how much I forking love football, especially the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm really excited that they are coming to Tampa for Monday Night Football on Monday, September 24th. I know where I'm going to get my tickets, which is Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online ticket marketplace that's dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience. With the podcast code INFLUENCE, listeners can receive 10% off your first purchase with Vivid Seats. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, enter promo code INFLUENCE, and you will receive 10% off your first purchase with Vivid Seats. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. Are you ready for some football? I sure am, and I cannot wait to see the Steelers take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This offer is only available for first-time customers of Vivid Seats. Have you ever found that you can find things in a thrift shop, like a certain plate that might be worth a lot of money, but you're only getting it for like a dollar?
Yes, all the time.
I have too, actually.
Oh my gosh. Like, and I do a little happy dance.
I found a couple of pieces from Italy. I have to say Italian plateware is my favorite.
I would imagine.
I love the big pasta dishes. I do have a collection of those. Oh. I don't use them very much because they're so pretty. I'm afraid they're going to get, you know, cracked or broken. So yeah. I keep them for very special occasions.
Yeah, or on display.
But I found a couple. And how could maybe someone find out if they are worth anything?
Well, check eBay immediately. Sometimes I have been known to get out my phone and check something in on eBay when I'm at Goodwill, because sometimes I'll buy it and I'll think, oh, I can use this or use it for a tablescape or a blog post or something, but I might not want it or I might want to sell it along the way. So you look up, you know, what it's selling for. That you have to look at the name. So is it Noritake, Mikasa, Spode, Lennox, even things like Sango, which is a less expensive. Sometimes some of their patterns are really collectible. And by collectible, I don't mean you just put them in a cabinet. I mean people like them and want to use them. So check eBay as you're looking at it and see if it's something that's selling. See what the price is. Sometimes it's flooded. The market is flooded in that. No one's going to buy it because there's too much of it out there. But I've sold a lot of plates on eBay before.
Okay,
and things that
know.
You wouldn't expect.
Make some extra money.
So, oh yes, I've made some extra money. Fitz and Floyd
I've heard of that.
Oh my gosh, they're so pretty. Dillard's has them, Macy's has them. They have like at Christmas time they have like huge deer and Santas, and they're just gorgeous, like figurines and cookie jars and then plates and things to match whatever. But one time at Salvation Army I found two rabbits that were about 2 feet tall, 2 feet tall. And they were in the box and in the styrofoam and still had the price tag on from Steinmart. And they were $49. And I loved them. They just spoke to me and I knew they could make a great table setting. But for some reason, you know, I kept them through Easter and for some reason I just put them on eBay and people started bidding on them. And, you know, as I said, they were pristine, nothing wrong with them, still in the box and everything like that. And, of course, that helps. And there was a bidding war, like, the last day, and they went up to $400 and $500. And some lovely, lovely woman who loves bunny figurines, apparently, bought them. The final bid was $800. And thank you very much to that lovely lady in Texas. And I hope you still have them. So you never, you know.
I need to start like thrift shopping and reselling
well,
to make money.
Well, you know, I'm very wealthy from my eBay sales, as you can tell by my lovely clothes. I'm a fashion blogger. Not really. This is from Nordstrom's, though.
Oh, girl, I haven't been to Nordstrom in years.
Well, Nordstrom Rack, excuse me, because I do love my sales, whether that's, you know, a thrift store or, you know, something like that. But eBay, you know, I wouldn't say you're going to get rich from it, but a lot of times I'll use things and I'll think, oh, I need this, and then I'll just get tired of it and I'll put it up for sale. And you never know what's going to be, you know, what's going to be really popular out there. So it's kind of like a, you know, hit and miss sometimes. But I think like because my mom was an antique dealer and she, you know, she told me what the good brands were and what was available. You know, of course, that was 20 years ago. Things have really changed. The market in collectibles has changed so much. Like people, like in the 90s and the 80s, people collected Hallmark ornaments and cherished teddies and Hummels and all these tchotchkes that people just don't care about anymore.
You know what? Speaking of ornaments, my Christmas tree is all food ornaments.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. Marshall's and what's that other place? Michael's.
Oh, yeah.
They always have them to come out.
Cute.
Yeah, there's hot dogs, pizza, pretzels, beer cans.
Oh, gosh. Now I'm going to have to get some. Well, I'm that crazy kind of person that has like four Christmas trees in their house. So I'll have one. I have one with pets. And then I have like the Hallmark one. It has also Grinchmas and things like that. And then a sports one for my husband, which is probably the smallest one.
Might be smaller than the pets.
Oh, you do?
I do have a Steelers tree.
Oh, I had a little Barbie tree for the girls when they were little, a little pink tree. And then the regular large thing that has a lot of, Eiffel Towers and Parisian things and gold and silver and things like that. But no, not really tea. I thought about doing teacups one year, but I haven't done it yet.
Now I have a question for you. So for food photography and plateware, what...
You're the good photographer.
Well, but, you know, sometimes when I'm at home, if I'm in a restaurant, that's one thing because I think they put a lot of time into how they want the presentation
plate
to look.
It. Mm-hmm.
But if I'm actually doing a recipe for myself, and I do struggle with photography at home because the lighting in my place is terrible. But do you think there's a certain color plate, aside from white, that works well with photography? And I know it probably depends on the colors in the
dish. I'm not the best food photographer. I take tips from you all the time. Whatever Tracy's doing, I do that at blogger events. You always take it to the light, that's for sure. So
natural
I like
light.
To get it in natural light for one thing. But I usually color coordinate, not that it's the best tip, but since I have so many, you know, plates, I like to color coordinate them. So and I don't think that a busy pattern takes away from the food. A chef might say that, which is why they like using white all the time. But sometimes you can use patterns and it looks good. Now, we worked with Wish Farms a year ago and then also this year with the organic blueberries. So a year ago, we worked with Sunday Supper and Wish Farms, and I won a package of a bunch of their fruit. So they sent me in the mail in big ice and everything, raspberries, blueberries, and strawberries. And so I happened to have spode in all the purple, blue, and pink. So I put the strawberries on the pink, you know, it's kind of pinkish red, and the purple with the blueberries the blue with the blueberries and maybe the raspberries on the purple, something like that. So, you know, I just like to sort of match the plates,
like
that.
And you just mentioned strawberries, you know, I'm from California, but I have to say Florida has the best strawberries.
Really?
They are so much better than California strawberries. I'm sure a lot of people are going to get mad at me for saying that, but they are. And strawberry season is coming up right after Thanksgiving. I'm so excited. Have you ever gone strawberry picking?
Yes, definitely. Not so much here or in Plant City, believe it or not, but when I was in Miami, you know, there used to be a lot of land when I was born, you know, and so we'd go strawberry picking all the time.
It's fun. I've done it a couple times here in Plant City.
And blueberry picking. Yeah, I love it.
I did that as well in
April.
Yeah,
I love it when it's organic and we could just pick them off the tree and eat off the bushes and eat them. That was like heaven. It was like a childhood dream come true, you know, like just eat all the blueberries you wanted.
I know. I think I did that with strawberries and I had like red stains all over my
face. Yes, yeah.
So I just didn't care. When it comes to food, I don't care. No. I don't care who's watching. I'm eating.
That's
doesn't
right.
matter.
I know.
Now, with the holidays coming up, what could someone like me who, let's say I don't want to spend a ton of money on maybe holiday decor for the dinner table, can I get away with maybe one color for both Thanksgiving and Christmas or one sort of pattern?
Well, you know, there's always white, which, you know, even when I was back at Birdine's, now Macy's, you know, a lot of brides would come in and say, well, I want white because I don't know what I'll change and everything through the years. And I'm sure that's the most popular color because you can use it with anything. But it really is about the decorations that you use with it. So, you know, change your tablecloth or your runner.
I don't
runner.
Have a tablecloth.
Oh, my gosh.
Or a runner.
I am coming over. I'm going to send you pictures. I have about
120.
And they're from like Home Goods. So they're $12.99, you know, so they're not that's pretty reasonable. And that's my one little vice. So I know it sounds gluttonous a little bit, but I do share and I work with other, I know I'm getting off topic, but like I shared with Dress for Success. They have a Veterans Day lunch for like 50 ladies in November on Veterans Day. So I happen to have a lot of red, white, and blue plates, not for any particular reason. It's just that I guess I have a lot of different plates and I have like red Fiesta and like I said, blue Spode and a lot of white. They're not necessarily all red, white, and blue. They're just different, you know. So I bring my 55 plates to the luncheon and set the tables and do the flowers for them and things like that. And so you could, getting back to the thing, you can use your white, you know, of course I have holiday china and there's a lot of holiday patterns out there. But if you had just red, you could use that also
for Valentine's Day.
I wouldn't use it for Thanksgiving, I'd hate to say. I mean, you're always going to go good with white. Like, and even for Halloween, like, you don't have to have all orange and purple and black and, you know, the big old, you know, crazy stuff. Like, I made a really pretty table setting with just white china. And then I used like some black mesh that I got at the dollar store to put in the middle. And then I used a pumpkin. And you can put like a chrysanthemum mums that you get at Publix or wherever. Just carve out the pumpkin and put the mums in there. Just put the pot in there. It's really easy.
That's a cute idea.
So that looks really nice. And then at each setting, I just used a little polka dot ribbon. I think it was black and white polka dot. And then put a little tiny, a mini pumpkin at each setting. And if you want, you could have your daughters, your children, you know, write their names. So it could be sort of like a place setting. And you don't have to have a fancy dinner. You could just have that for your kids. You know, and everybody gets their name on the little pumpkin. And then to make it a little bit more creative, what I did, I guess I didn't have anything to do this day. So I went out and got vines from the backyard, and they're kind of like ivy and things like that. And I spray painted them black so they look dead. And I put them inside the pumpkin and then put the orange mums in there. So it just gave a little bit more dramatic Halloweenish feel to it. And I found, I don't know why I happen to have a couple wine bottles and tequila bottles, but I had some nice decanters, but also some wine bottles, and I filled them up with candy corn and little fake white eyeballs. They were not real eyeballs, I promise. So little fake candy eyeballs, and then I got some little green witch fingers. They're like lollipops. I got those at the dollar store and put those in a little bottle. And so it had all these little bottles and all these, you know, like potions and things like that. And between, you know, and it was just the black mesh, the pumpkin with the flowers, and the tiny pumpkins at each person's table. And then the decanters / wine bottles. So there really wasn't a lot of elements, but it was really, you know, it wasn't too over-the-top Halloween with bats and vampires and all that stuff. I'm not a big skeleton fan. So I like to, when I decorate, I like to do whatever the, you know, the fall color. I'd rather do fall than so much Halloween, you know, and use the flowers and things like that. But it did have the elements of candy and things like that. So did I answer your question?
I did. I have a lot of work to do when it comes to that. Well, one last thing I wanted to chat with you about. Everyone knows my obsession with forks. I even have a fork tattoo on my arm. I've been slowly collecting, again, fork jewelry and accessories. So I have a fork purse that I found on eBay.
Oh, my gosh. You're so lucky. I've been looking for a plate purse everywhere.
That's what I was going to ask you. Have you noticed kind of in the fashion world anything aside from food items, like utensils or anything unique that you've seen, maybe a necklace with a plate on it? Because I'm always looking for stuff like that.
Oh, my gosh. Me too. Well, I know there's a few jewelry lines where they use shards of broken china.
Okay.
So they'll use little – I have one that it's purple and white china. So I bought it at Dunedin Fine Arts Center. They have a art show in November, I think it is. So different magazines and different – you know, you can just get them online. Like broken china is usually the thing that I – that I see. China, rings, and earrings. So, but I'm still looking for a purse, and I'm dead set on, like, finding those raw straw, round straw purses are really in style right now. So I'm thinking, how can I hook, like, a plate to the purse, you know? And one of my friends said, but it might break. And I'm like, but I have another 1,000 plates at home, so I'm sure I have. Because, you know, when you get plates, they're usually, like, $1.19 at Goodwill. Now, some of the better ones, they realize that it's a better, like, if it's Lennox or something like that, it's, ooh, a big $4, you know? But most plates are, like, $1.19 or $1.98 at Goodwill, so...
And I'm sure with all these local markets that are always popping up all over Tampa, you can probably find something.
I'm still searching.
There's a great one here in South Tampa at the 81 Bay Brewery. They do a market once a month on Saturdays. You can look it up on their Facebook page. Okay. Definitely go check them out. They've got some pretty cool stuff.
I like one. It's a shabby chic market in Safety Harbor. And I found a lot of really cool things there, too. And things with people using, like, old plates. And, you know, you can use teacups and put a succulent in it. And so succulents and cactus are so popular right now. So that updates it and gives it a fresh feeling, you know. And that's another thing. A lot of people love vintage china. Like, it's all over Instagram, people who rent china and rent their vintage china for weddings and showers. And I've done that with showers as well and done that for friends and even had a few clients that I've done where I share my plates with other people and then do the flowers and things like that. So they don't have to do all the collecting themselves.
Well, one last thing before we wrap up for today is I wanted to ask you, when it comes to Instagram, do you have any accounts that you just love to follow that make you hungry?
Make me hungry or make me hungry for dishes?
Well, both. Let's do food and dishes. Because I'm going to start looking actually at plateware.
Oh my gosh. To me, like, I'm like, wow, there's so many people who love plates on Instagram. And most people wouldn't know that. But it's like, all I do is look at plates and dishes all day long. And, okay, not all day long, but, you know, in my spare time. Okay, 12 hours a day. But, yeah, there's just so many, you know, you put in different hashtags for foodie and things like that. And I still love looking at table settings more than I love looking at food. So Not My Dish is one that is, they're a rental company, China rental company. And Confessions of a Plate Addict is more than Instagram. She was one of the first bloggers that I really followed. There are so many bloggers out there that do tablescapes. And it's just, you wouldn't think that so many people did tablescapes, you know, but it's kind of like entertaining. They do a lot of DIY too. And they have absolutely beautiful homes. And I don't know how they get there, you know, do that. But I do love looking at people's beautiful homes with their dishes and things like that. And I can write them down, but I can't recall them.
Oh, that's okay. I was just curious. I'm going to start looking for different hashtags that have to do with plates because I need some
inspiration. Yeah, I just look up tablescape.
And yours?
Hashtag tablescape or, you know, tablescape Tuesday or tablescape Thursday. And there's threads on bloggers. There are so many bloggers.
I had no idea.
That blog about tablescapes. And they, you know, they don't do it as a business. I mean, some of them do. Yes, they do. And they work with brands and things like that. But some are just are really talented. And that's I kind of look at it as my expression of, it's like an art form to me. It's how I express myself and decorate the house and decorate for the holidays.
Sounds good. I have a lot of work to do, so I better get on it today.
You better.
I'm going to start looking for ideas.
You have to entertain at least your family. And I did want to say, like, it kind of started also, I know this is the end of it, but when we'd go on vacation, my mom, wherever we'd go, my mom used to just set the table. And sometimes it was plastic dishes from, well, it was Eckerd's back then, not CVS. But, you know, she'd just get some plastic dishes, some melamine dishes, and set for 4th of July. And some little pinwheels or something for the centerpiece. And it always was welcoming. And that's what I love about it. I mean, it's about family. It's about making people feel welcome when you're entertaining, whether it's a casual or a very fancy event. And it helps people remember the good time that they had at your house. And so that's the real thing behind Plate Girl, is just making people feel welcome and having a memorable occasion.
I love that. That's why I love food so much, because it's just a great way to bring
people
together.
Yes.
Anything, you know, discussions over a wonderful meal are always the best and the most memorable. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. You can follow Marcia on Facebook. Her page is Plate Girl FLA, on Instagram Plate_Girl, and on Twitter PlateGirl19. Thank you so much for listening to Forking Around Town, and be sure to subscribe, rate, and review my podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and a new episode comes out every Tuesday on RadioInfluence.com.
This is a Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Everybody, do me a big, huge favor and welcome to Duffified Live. Zia Mara Hall.
The premise of the show, the buyer was from A&P Stores, which, as you know, they're in the Northeast.
Right.
That wasn't necessarily my market. The East Coast has Caribbean pretty well covered. I knew the West Coast was what needed more Caribbean stuff.
Right.
So they had 9 episodes with different categories. And then they chose three of the winning episodes to be in the final. The final did get developed.
Okay.
The rest of us, you got your prize money. So technically I was fourth. I actually stayed in a hotel for a couple of days in case somebody dropped out, for tasting purposes. But, the Smuggies, ice cream cookies. And in speaking with her, unfortunately, the other thing is that they develop it however they want to. And she didn't think the end product was truly representative of her product. Again, when you make something at home, we don't necessarily follow commercial things. Like, for example, I did not boil my hot sauce ingredient. Well, in order to be on the shelf, when you bottle, it needs to be hot.
Right.
So that changed the color, that changed the flavor, that changed a lot of things when you do things commercially than when you do at home. At home, you may do something that takes 10 hours. They're not going to do that in a manufacturing plant.
Not for 70 gallons.
The fastest, exactly. They're going to do it the fastest, you know, most inexpensive way. So it, they weren't necessarily interested. It's a TV show. They were interested in the TV show.
Right.
You know, I mean, the truth is I got on the show and they had never even tried the product. They liked the story. They liked my personality. They liked my look, but they never tried the product.
Right.
Which is actually really good, but it's TV. You know, so we can't get caught up in this Instagram society of
and
being famous
forget.
For being famous. You know?
And don't forget, it's reality TV.
Yeah.
Which is one of the more the farthest fetched things from what there is.
Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.